turn to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to share a statistic with you that came from CBS News. This was October 27th of this year. October 27th, they took a poll of Americans and they said 85% of Americans either had their savings stay the same or decrease this year. And I'm not trying to start the service on a sour, depressing note, but that was startling to me. And then I thought about my grocery bill, and I wasn't as surprised. So, yeah, amen is right. Amen is right. I may be going back to my college diet. In college, I used to, this was a powerful meal. If you want to experience it, you can. You take one can of corn and one can of black beans. You cook them, mix them together, and that is your meal. If you're feeling real bougie, you can add some guacamole to it. And I will say, as a certified chef, the guacamole really does elevate the experience. But 85% of Americans said my savings stayed the same or decreased this year. And it got me thinking that what we maximize really matters. What we maximize matters. And I wanted to think about that in a spiritual sense, okay? Like we want to maximize what we've been given spiritually. In Matthew 25, verse 14, says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. And the servant who received the bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest. I've earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate." If I went around and got to ask you what stuck out to you in this parable, it may stick out to you that the master gave different amounts to everybody. You may say, man, he gave somebody 5, he gave somebody 2, he gave somebody 1. That's really interesting to me. What stuck out to you may be the word entrusted. He entrusted his money to the servants. Maybe you found that really interesting. Maybe you're just thinking about going and looking for buried treasure now because you're like, some dude buried a bag of silver. That will help me buy groceries. I'm going hunting now for whatever was buried out there. But what stuck out to me is this principle that we teach our staff and our leaders here, and I'm going to teach it to you because it matters that we all think like this as a church. Or maybe you're thinking about getting involved at Vertical. Well, then I want us to be all on the same page. It's what you maximize matters. What you maximize matters. You see, what sticks out to me in this parable is the person who took 5 bags of silver and turned it into 10 was commended and rewarded the exact same way as the person who took 2 to 4. So many times we look at, man, the person took 5 to 10, they're really impressive. Man, that's impressive. Maybe the person who took 2 to 4, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But in the kingdom of heaven, they're commended the exact same way. It didn't matter what they had ended with. It matters that they had maximized what was given. And this principle of thinking matters so much for us because it's what Jesus teaches. Some of you, if you stick around Vertical, you're like, hey, that seems like a good idea. Or maybe that's why you don't stick around Vertical. You're like, all their ideas stink. But if you stick around Vertical, you're going to see we're not just that creative kind of people. We actually just kind of look at what Scripture says and go, hey, let's try to bank on that and see how it goes. Because we believe the Word of God is applying to our life. It's active. We can actually follow what it says, and then we can align ourselves with God. In our thinking as Americans, so many times we're impressed by the person who has the most, right? That's kind of our American dream. You've got the bigger house, the bigger bank account, the bigger cars. Whatever it is, that's kind of what we're impressed. The most social media followers, like whatever it is, we want the most. But in the kingdom of heaven, that's not what was rewarded. Like the person who took 5 could have taken it to 7 and still would have had more than the person who took 2 to 4. But what was commended was this ability to maximize what was given. Sometimes, and I say this because I've met other human beings, we're all alike in a lot of ways, is sometimes we struggle with our self-worth. We start thinking, man, I don't really kind of have what other people have, or they're more gifted what I have. They have better talents than what I have. And a lot of times it's because of social media, media nowadays. The internet has a lot of pros, a lot of good things it can offer, but one of the things is it's now the easiest it ever has been in the course of humanity for you to compare yourself to somebody else. And I don't know about you, but what I've discovered about social media is we tend to put our best on there typically. It would not be hard for me. It would take all of about 7 seconds for me to go find a pastor who's better at preaching and teaching than me because of the internet. And some of you are like, I could do it in 3 seconds. And I'm like, well, praise God. You're better than me at that. But it's so easy for us to compare ourselves to other people nowadays because everybody's out there trying to put out their best. And we can sit there and struggle with our self-worth because we look at our entire lives and then we get to see other people's highlight reels. And then when we start seeing other people's highlight reels and what they're gifted with, what they're talented with, how they're maximizing what they've been given, we start to feel like maybe we're not worth as much, and that causes us to stop. What's curious, when I look at this, though, is I don't see the servants in this parable looking at what other people got. Did you see that anywhere in there? The person who got 5 doesn't turn around and go, hey, I got more than the person who got 2. I got more than the person who got 1. They didn't get prideful. They weren't even worried what other people were getting. They got what the Lord gave them, and they said, man, I've got to turn 5 into 10. I've got to maximize what was given. The person who got 2 wasn't going, hey, man, someone else got 5. That's really unfair. I wish I had more. I feel insecure about what I have. I feel like I've got less. I'm not going to do anything. The person who got 2 was only concerned with, this is what I've been entrusted with, and I've got to maximize it. The problem became when somebody got 1, and they started having the wrong idea of God. And when they had the wrong idea of God, what does it cause them to do? It caused them to bury what was given. See, when we're focused on maximizing what God has given, we're going to worry less about what other people have or don't have. Look at what happens in verse 24. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I had harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. And see, we know we're not living exactly in biblical times because if they had gone to the local bank, there would barely be any interest on it. You know, if you just head in tomorrow, you can get a nice 0.007% interest rate on your money. And you can look at your $1 you invested, and it can be a nice, cool, crisp $1 in a year from now. But he says, you could have at least taken what I gave you and put it in the bank. But that's not what the master chose to do. The master says, I knew I could go put my money in the bank. I knew I could take what I offer and go put in the bank, but instead, God chose to invest in his creation. God chose to invest in his creation. He could go and take his talents and gifts and abilities that he pours out on his people and put them elsewhere, but he says, my plan, my design is to give what I have and invest in my creation. It's why this idea that we don't have self-worth is such a lie from the pits of hell, because if you were created in the image of God, you will always have worth. The idea that any of us could look at ourselves made in the image of God and declare, I have no worth, is expounding upon a lie from the pits of hell. And we get there a lot of times by comparing ourselves to other people. Looking around what other people got. We look at somebody who got 5 bags of silver and say, I didn't get that. I must not be worth very much. I only got 1 bag of silver. And you may be sitting there like, man, if you knew me, I didn't get 1 bag of silver. I got like 1 silver coin. Well, good news for you. You just got to turn it into 2 silver coins by the end. That's all you got to do. Because all that matters is not what other people have done. It matters were you maximizing what was given. We get in trouble when we start comparing ourselves to other people. We start looking at what they have or what they don't have, and we don't maximize what was given. The problem for this servant who buried the one bag of silver was he had the wrong idea of God. Had the wrong idea of God. You notice why he said he buried it was he was afraid. And you're like, well, I've read the Bible. We're supposed to fear God. Yeah, that's the translation. I don't know if you know this. The Bible wasn't written in English. That was just some of you are like, what? Heresy. It wasn't. What we read is a translation. The fear of God, what they're talking about is this reverence and respect for the king. See, a healthy reverence or respect for the king would have led someone to act like what the 2 and 5 bags of silver people did and maximize what was given. If I respect the king and he's invested in me, my respect is going to lead me to go, I want to maximize what he's given me. If I have an unhealthy fear of God, it's going to cause me, one, to not interact with him. It's going to cause me to hide from him. It's going to cause me to run away from him. It's going to cause me to not think that I can operate the way he's called me to. It's an unhealthy thing. A lie causes us to bury what's been given. A lie causes us to bury what's been given. Maybe it's a lie that you don't have very much worth, so you're not going to maximize what was given. It's a lie that I'm not as good as other people, so I'm going to bury what was given. It's a lie of, oh, I've sinned in my past, so God doesn't want to work through me, so I'm going to bury what was given. Lies cause us to bury what God gave us. But what's buried can't be blessed. What's buried can't be blessed. And we may be in church and things like that, but if God has given each of us gifts and skills and talents to maximize, and we bury what he's given, that's never going to be blessed. And he doesn't bless according to what he gave. He's the one who gave it. We may try to say, I'm not very capable. Well, that's interesting, because God's the one who knows he made you capable. It may have only been one coin, it may have been one bag, it may have been 5 bags, but God says, I gave according to the proportion of what I gave you. He knows. He knows what he gave you. What he's looking for is, will you maximize what was given? We put all this pressure on ourselves looking at other people, but in the kingdom of heaven, you're not compared to anybody. You're not compared to anybody in the kingdom of heaven. I'm not compared to any other pastor you may know out there that's way better at this, or you may compare me to other people and think, hey, Phil, he's just the greatest pastor ever. I'd like to meet the other people you compare me to. That sounds great. That was a joke, too. Please don't do that. Don't start sending me other messages. You're like, hey, you're at least better than this guy. Okay, that's not the point of the message. I'm not compared to anybody else. My mindset is always what Jesus is teaching here, is how do I maximize what's given? It's why here at Vertical Church, like, we're not looking at, you know, our Sunday morning attendance as our health metric. That's not our health metric. Whatever we have here at Vertical, did we maximize it? Like, our health metric is, well, do we have 1 service or 2 services or 3 services or multiple locations? None of that is the metric for health here. The metric for health at Vertical Church is, are we a group of people, regardless of our size, regardless of how many locations, regardless of services, are we people who maximize what God gave us at Vertical Church? That mindset has been here for 3 years. It's been here for 4 years. However long I've been here, that is the mindset. Maximize what God has given. And it's why we invite you to come participate. Because the more people who join in with what God is doing, and the more people who raise their hand and say, hey, God has given me something, and I'm going to maximize it for the glory of God, you build that momentum. But we are going to be a group of people who just go, we're not going to compare ourselves to other churches. We're not going to compare ourselves to other people. We are going to maximize what God gave us, because that's the kingdom of heaven principle. Look what happens here in verse 28. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. Those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. If you're reading that, you're like, man, I thought God was harsh, and now I read it, and he is. I don't like to avoid scripture because I think all of it applies to our life. Like, I don't want to sugarcoat it. I always believe sugarcoating scripture is just going to give you spiritual diabetes. That's not going to be healthy. You know? If we talk about the whole scripture in its context, it's going to change our life, though. I don't think God's harsh. I think if you read earlier in the story, everything that we're told before that moment is God was generous. He chose to give us those bags of silver. Whether it was 5, 2, 1, he chose to give. He could have just taken it to the bank. Instead, he generously gives. Then what happens when the servants who take 5 to 10 and 2 to 4 come back? What does his character say? Well done. Well done. I'm so proud of you that I'm going to actually increase your giving. I'm going to give you even more because of what you've done. And then let's celebrate. How many of you, your idea and imagery of God allows you to picture celebrating with God? How many of you can picture yourself actually getting to celebrate with God? Because, yeah, I see a hand in the back. Somebody with me, let's go. Okay, all right, somebody's still with me. And in the back row, praise Jesus. The rest of you are like, nah, I can't got it. That just sounds real weird. But that's how I grew up a lot of times. I didn't have like the idea that God would want to celebrate with me all just because I maximize what's given. But that's exactly what God's character was. Before he got to even dealing with anybody who didn't live up to anything that he's called them to, he says, the first thing I want to do is talk about being generous. I want to talk about just celebrating. But we always focus on the harsh things. But the reason God was harsh with it is he looked at one of his servants and said, I can trust you with this bag of silver. You are capable of producing another bag of silver because I'm the one who created you. I know you. The reason it was dealt with harshly is because it was rebellion. The idea that God would entrust things to us and we wouldn't use them. Some of us are guilty maybe of taking things God's entrusted to us and we use them for ourselves. Sometimes we go, I don't really have any spiritual gifts. I really can't do anything, but you're over there maybe successful in business. You don't have any gifts. I'm successful maybe in my family. I'm my family's really healthy, but you don't have any gifts that you can share with other people? You don't have any talents or skills or wisdom you can share with people? I think so many times we get focused maybe that this story is just about money. This story is about money, but it's about everything. Everything you've been given. Everything you've been given is designed to be maximized for the kingdom, whether it's your talents or skills or your gifts. Or how about this one for some of us? Our time. For some of us, time is really valuable, and that's not something we're always willing to give back to the Lord. But time is supposed to be maximized as well. I read these verses, and one of the principles I see is the kingdom of heaven is full of grace, not excuses. The kingdom of heaven is full of grace, not excuses. Many of us make mistakes. Many of us sin. The reason I say that is that's what the Bible teaches. But it's full of grace. Like the kingdom of heaven is full of forgiveness and love and grace and mercy, but what doesn't fly in the kingdom of heaven is excuses. Many of us offer those kind of excuses, though. I'm not gifted. I'm not talented. I don't have what somebody else has, or I'm not blessed with what other people have talent-wise or skill-wise or opportunity-wise. We have a lot of excuses. But in the kingdom of heaven, there's not excuses, but it is full of grace. And as you sit here today, you may be thinking, man, I don't maximize what God has given me. And maybe you feel now shame. Maybe you feel guilt. And I'm here to tell you that is not from the Lord. The Lord does not operate in shaming you or guilting you, but he does operate in conviction. And conviction is meant to say, hey, something's wrong in our life. It's not in alignment with God. But conviction draws us away from that to God. And you may be experiencing that right now. God is convicting you about it, but he's not shaming or guilting. He's not trying to isolate you. He's trying to draw you back to him because that's his character. Drawing you back to him. The kingdom's heaven full of grace, but not excuses. There's a couple things that really kill a maximized mindset. And the first thing is the gateway drug of it all, and it's comparison. We talked about that today, but as soon as you start trying to compare yourself to other people, you now entered a slippery slope that's going to hold you back from being someone who maximizes what God has given, because you're going to worry about what other people are doing, what other people have, instead of going, what has God given me and how do I honor him with it? When we stay in that lane and we stay focused of how do I just look at what God has given me and give it back to him, we can operate in a maximized mindset. It's why I love that we're a multi-generational church. Because a multi-generational church, a multi-generational community is so important for us to see things in ourselves, right? Because, man, if you're 50, 60, 70 years old, maybe you see something in my life that I don't see yet. Maybe if you're 60, 50, 70 years old, however old, being around somebody who's a little bit younger may see something that you haven't seen. And we work together And as a multi-generational group of people, we can speak into each other's lives about some things we have. I'll tell you point blank, like, why do we keep inviting you to come participate with us? Like, maybe you're here in your first week, and you're like, that's weird that they would want me to join a community group or join a serve team. I've not been here long enough. We don't subscribe to that thinking. Because we believe if God has gifted you, if he's given things to you, like, why are we going to try to force you onto a sideline for X amount of time before you can come participate? That's just a weird line of thinking for me. I don't know why we do that. You can jump in with us if you believe, hey, I believe God's moving here, and I believe he's called me here, and I can maximize my gifts here. I want to serve. The other reason we need to be in community is sometimes we believe we have gifts that we don't have. You ever met somebody like that? Caroline has. I love worship music, love worship. Love to worship the Lord, love the music. I'm not gifted at it. You're like, you don't know that, Pastor. I do. In the fourth grade, I was an ambitious young fourth grader, and my friends were joining the band. And I said, you know what? I'm good at most of the things I do. I can join band. Poor young white Phil, who had no rhythm. So for whatever reason, young fourth grade Phil decided, what I'm going to choose as my instrument is the trombone. I don't know why I chose the trombone. It is large, it's clunky, and I didn't play it well. But the trombone people sat in the front, okay? I needed an instrument where I could hide in the back, away from the conductor. But I'm right there on the front row, and thank goodness my conductor in the fourth grade working with young children was full of grace because she would say things like, Philip, you're terrible. Or, Philip, you're not even playing correctly. I'm like, that is helpful. That is good to know. So what young Philip decided to do, well, since she keeps hearing me because I'm in the front, I'm just going to pretend to play. I won't even blow in the instrument. So I'm just pretending to play. And she would still say, you're terrible. Because I didn't have to blow it. She could just tell my instrument's in the wrong spot all the time. I was not gifted at all with the trombone. And I let it go. Started in the fourth grade. Ended in the fourth grade. Sometimes I needed a little tough love to go, hey, I'm glad you're trying it. It's not your gifting. But we need community sometimes. And if you need to be humbled, I'm sure she's still conducting somewhere in Florida, praise God, and helping all young fourth graders discover whether or not they're good at the trombone or not. But see, God knows what we're capable of because he's the one who made us capable. God knew I was not capable of playing the trombone very well because he's like, I ain't giving you that gift. But if we're in a community that can point out the things that we have or we don't have, they can encourage us to go serve the Lord and work together. And that's why humility is so important. Because, man, if I took such pride and offense to not being good at the trombone, I would have walked away and said, I'm not doing anything. I'm not getting involved. I'm going to try new things. Trying new things is not a bad thing. And saying, hey, I maybe God has gifted me this. I want to step out and serve him. I believe other people have. And that's why as a church, we want to do what's called shoulder tapping. Like, if you hang around this church long enough, you're probably going to have someone proverbial, tap you on the shoulder, go, hey, I think I see this gift in you. I think I see this gift in you. Would you like to try to step into that with me? It's not we're like recruiting you out here or anything like that, but it's this idea of like, we're better when we serve the Lord together with what he's given. It's not some exclusive club. Let's work together to honor the Lord. From the gateway drug of comparison, it leads you to two things, and it's envy. And my degree is in youth ministry, which is an extremely impressive academic degree. That was a joke. Like, you're like, he's dead serious. Or some of you are like, that is an impressive degree. It was not an impressive degree at my school. It was one of the top three easiest degrees. You can judge me if you want. Or you're now discovering why my preaching is subpar. You're like, yeah, you took the easy degree. That's fine. I enjoyed my degree. Got a lot of great Bible classes, though. The first thing's envy. And dictionary.com defines that as you want to be in the other person's position to have what they have. Envy is looking at someone else's position and going, I want to have what they have. And as soon as you start having envy for other people, how are you ever going to think what God has given you is enough to maximize for his honor and glory? Because as soon as you start to have envy, you're like, man, if I was in their position, then I could do something for God. Then I would be loved. Then I would be cared about. Then I could maximize it. And when we start worrying about other people having their position, we lose the mindset that the servants had who took 5 to 10 and 2 to 4. They were not worried about what other people had or didn't have. They said, I'm going to look at what God has given me, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek, and I'm going to maximize what was given there. Comparison can also lead to jealousy. And jealousy is a feeling of resentment, bitterness, hostility towards someone who has something that you do not. What matters is the other person has the thing, you want it, and this makes you resentful of them. When we start describing, you know, resentment, bitterness, envy, jealousy, if you go read Galatians, we're actually told those are all fruits of our flesh. They're all sinful. As soon as we don't have a maximized mindset, the way we're supposed to, according to the kingdom of heaven, think, what's going to happen is actually we start producing things of our flesh. So not only are we not doing what God has called us to do, we're actually going to produce things that are not, they're negative. They're not beneficial at all. Envy and resentment and jealousy, they're never going to help you maximize what God has given you. They're going to hold you back. It's actually probably going to push you to bury what you have because you're like, if I don't have XYZ, then I don't have anything to offer. Who told you that? Did the person who had two take it to four start worrying about what somebody else had, whether it was one or five? Or they focused on what God had given them. As we close out, I want to ask, have you buried what God gave you? Have you buried what God gave you? Because what you bury cannot be blessed. Whether it's one coin or one bag, two bags, five bags, like, don't worry what you have or don't have. Say, God has invested in me as his creation, someone who's been made in his image, in his glory. My life has worth because he's done that. And I want to focus on what God has given me to honor him. I want to maximize what's been given. As we close out, I just ask that you bow your head and pray. You know, we hear messages like this, and I really think the enemy always tries to come in and sow some kind of lie with some truth. And you may be thinking, man, I've got shame and guilt because I have been comparing. I have been looking at other people. I have been missing out. And now you feel this shame and this guilt about that. You know, the grace of God will help you uncover what you have buried. The grace and love of God would say, hey, if you have buried what you've been given, the opportunity to unearth that, come maximize that, exists today. Maybe as you're sitting out there and you're just like, you know, if I'm honest, I've not been maximizing what I've been given. I want you to know that the kingdom of heaven is full of grace, but not excuses. And I want to be able to pray for you because I want us to be a church that encourages one another, loves one another, supports one another. We're going to enter into a time of prayer, and if you'd like someone to pray with you, our prayer leaders are going to be in the back. They wear a green lanyard. You can come to the front if you just want one-on-one time with God. But as we close out in prayer, if you feel like, hey, you know, as you've been talking, I realize I'm not maximizing what God has given me, and I want the Lord to work with me, to help me, to show me grace, but also empower me to maximize what I've been given, will you just pray for me? Will you just put your hand up and put it back down? If you feel like that's you, amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Lord, as we close out, I pray that you will encourage those who had the boldness to go, I've not maximized what I've been given. And Lord, I pray that by their courage, you will pour out your love and your grace upon them, that you will encourage them, that you will give them the boldness and courage to leave here and go, I will maximize what God has given me for his honor and his glory. Because when we love the king, we respect the king. We don't want to operate out of fear or being afraid of the king. That causes us to hide and bury things. But if we love and respect the king, we'll always look to maximize what he gives us. And so, Lord, help us to be a church and a group of people who encourages one another. We point out gifts in other people and encourage them. Hey, I see this in you. God's given you this. Go use it for his glory. Maximize what's been given to you. Because, Lord, I pray that you will use us as a church that encourages other Bible-believing churches. You encourage us to encourage those around us in our community that we will be a blessing to North Georgia and beyond as we look to maximize what you've given us because you invest in your creation. Lord, I thank you for your love and your grace that we don't have to run away from you. We don't have to be afraid of you, that you sit on a throne of grace. I pray that you show that to us today. your grace and mercy to help us walk in the ways you've called us to with the gifts you've given us, the talents you've given us, the time you've given us. So as we close out, the altar's open. If you want to come talk to the Lord one-on-one, our prayer leaders are in the back. You can stand up and worship. You can stay seated. But before we leave today, let's just focus our attention on have we buried anything that God has given us?